Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip. Friday, the 26th of March, would have been my old gran's birthday. 117 years ago today she was born. Bless her. Sister's had her up as well. My sister's been in hospital and had her, bits of her bowel cut out, and it seems to have gone well. Just waiting some news there. But phase one done. And as I say, seems to have gone well. Right. Apologies. No pod yesterday. We're moving the website, first part of a sort of long-term restructure, was to move the website to a new host service operator, so that obviously if it goes down and things, which at times it has done, very rarely, but if it does, we have a structure in place to restore the service ASAP, rather than the current setup, which involves me trying to get hold of Ryan from his day job. And he's a busy lad, brilliant at what he does, to be honest. It's no slight on him, it's just a matter that he's busy, and obviously trying to bother him when it goes down in his day job and get him to fix it. So that process of moving happened yesterday and all seems to have gone okay. I did text a couple of people and said, could you just log in and check you can log in and check you can get in the members area. There was a little bit of a delay in caching. I think some of you may have missed the racing file, just because of they did it at 12 and you hadn't gone on and got the file then, and the copy they'd taken hadn't quite caught up. But all that seems to be okay. So if anybody could just log in and check you're okay, report back if there are any issues this end, give us a bit of patience, we'll get it fixed. There's a few bits still back end that we need to fix. This is sort of looking forwards, you know, you're not going to see massive website changes over the next couple of weeks. This is just getting things in place for moving forward with videos on site and things. But if you can just check it's functioning, I've uploaded an ultimate database just to check that all worked. That was fine. The racing files have gone on today, so should hopefully be okay. But if there are any issues, as I say, please be patient and just report back. Got no ultimate this weekend, which is why we chose this week with no football, because obviously internationals. Don't think anybody should be jumping up and down that England beat San Marino 5. I think San Marino are officially, did I read this somewhere, the worst rated sports team in the world. I think the last time I did any numbers on international football, they let in about 4.5 goals a game as it is. So we are pretty much on par. So I don't think we need to get too excited. I do think that FDD have games now every day for the next week. I think there is something pretty much every day, be it a Segunda or a Dutch Eerste division or whatever it may be. So if you are that and you've sort of got out of the habit over the last couple of days because there's been no games, do grab those files. And the Masters will go up early next week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. They will publish the current season Masters, so I will tweet and telegram when that is done over the next week. I am going to take another couple of days off, purely just for my own sanity. I did the website, sort of got me yesterday. I've been doing a long-term Excel thing, which all went horribly pear-shaped yesterday, and I had to jack the towel in that. I'm going to revisit that next week. But I'm going to have a couple of days off between now and next week. Just go for some walks with Sam, take the dog out. She's feeling a bit flipping stir crazy with all this at the minute. So I'll be about, but not full time. So just ask if people don't mind. I have worked solidly for the best part of a year that I'm just going to have a couple of days downtime. Happy birthday yesterday to Martin Wathy. I always get his name wrong, I always say Wathy Wathy. Martin is a long-term FTS member. He was 63 yesterday. Actually in a racing project with Martin. He loves his horses and I've put some money into something. Good lad he is. But like many of us, yesterday was his second birthday in lockdown. He had it last year and this year. I'll be experiencing the same. Sooner they get the boozers open. Safely, I said safely, from when people panic, can't open them yet, lockdown, safe, got to do it properly, I agree, safely, but sooner the better. I am interested to see what happens with passports and things like that, you know, these vaccine passports they're talking about. I can imagine that being met with some strong opposition. I'm not going to add more at the minute because I want a nice weekend without the numpties coming at me, but I'm interested to see what happens there. Far more important business. We did a poll this week. Very important, high importance poll on Twitter. The best fruit. Four options, and that was just because that was the four options we had in the house. Pomegranate, mango, orange and pineapple. And the public just scraped through with the correct verdict. It is, of course, the humble orange is the right answer. You can't beat it. A nice, fresh orange. Just nip into the peel with your fingernail, thumbnail, or get the zest. It sprays up. Beautiful. Pomegranate. It was pomegranate, orange, mango and pineapple. Pomegranate's nice. Like it's sprinkled over a bit of salad, maybe, or sprinkled over a lamb tagine with a bit of coriander. Beautiful. That is really nice. Make a nice lamb tagine. I think I gave the recipe for lamb tagine. And then when you take it out and serve it, just sprinkle some chopped coriander and a few pomegranate seeds as you're eating the lamb, and you get the bits of dried apricot that have cooked, and you get that little burst of pomegranate in your oar. Beautiful, lovely. But not as a fruit, just to sit and eat. I know it can be a bit fiddly, unless you know how. Cut it in half, get a wooden spoon, give it a bang. They drop out. Just hold it over a bowl, wooden spoon, job done. And my mango and pineapple, yeah, both very nice. I like a bit of pineapple. I quite often have pineapple for breakfast. But you can't beat the humble old orange there. Nice, big, fresh, juicy orange. And the public got it right. That's it. You're good. You're getting better, see? You are starting to come round to the FTS way of thinking. On the note of oranges, because this conversation did actually take place, I led from oranges when Sam and I were debating this. She's mango, by the way. I love a Satsuma as well. I know they're sort of seasonal Christmas, but I love... But what happened in this new world order, where these global companies are now becoming our masters, when did we allow them, and I don't know, this snuck up on me, when did we allow them to replace Satsumas, Clementines and the like with a fucking thing called an easy peeler, which resembles a small orange pebble? At what stage in life, genuinely, at what stage in life did a beautiful Satsuma, the peeling of it, becomes so difficult for mankind? Can I say mankind anymore? I'm asking myself. Can I? Is it people kind? Womankind? Just kind? What am I? What is it? What is it? Help! What was I talking about? Oranges. No, Satsumas. Yeah, so what is it? What is it? Can you say mankind anymore? I don't think you can. Can you? Place a band. Band. Fucking madness. Satsumas, fucking anybody listening to this podcast, honestly, if the people at Apple will listen to this when it's published, let's just check some of the content on site. They're flipping, what is this bloke on about? Get back to the Satsuma. So if, this is going to be a good podcast today, by the way. So if you think this has completely lost its way, this is going to be a really good podcast today. Where was I? Satsumas. Yeah, so when did it become so difficult for whatever it may be, mankind, peoplekind, womankind, kind, to peel a Satsuma that some twat is sat in a boardroom in an office and gone, I've got a real problem here, guys. You know, Sainsbury's board, we've got a real problem here. These fucking Satsumas, they're so tough to peel. We've got to get a look at this. We've got to sort this out, because it's just, people are losing their fingers and everything trying to peel the Satsuma. We've got to get some of them easier to peel, and the fucking easy peeler was born. Fuck off with your easy peelers. Bring back the Satsuma, tangerine, clementines, you fuckers. Fuck off. Give me back proper fucking oranges and orange related products. None of this easy peeling. What is all that about? Easy peeler. Behave yourselves. Right, let's get to some football. Not football bets. I've spent a bit of time talking, you know, obviously it is a prominent subject at the minute if you're a football bettor, and I've spent a bit of time talking about the decline of goals this season over the last couple of weeks. It's undoubted, certainly in the leagues that I look at, that we've seen a decline in general across the FDD leagues. Collectively together, I don't think they've had a week above 70% first half goals since Xmas, and I think they've had one week over 80% second half goals. It isn't normal. I put some sheets on the website in the blog for that, and I'll update those at the end of the month and keep those going. I want to try and take the weekly one back a bit further if I get time. I was going to do that yesterday if my Excel issues hadn't raised up. My view is that this will, and it is just a view, that this will maintain to the end of the season. Now, I think we're going to limp to the end of this sort of intense playing schedule. I may be wrong, but I think that's my gut feeling. So we've seen this decline, and obviously when you see a decline, if you're backing goals, lower goals makes things harder. So if you're looking to back goals, and obviously less goals are being scored and percentages of second half, first half goals are going down, it follows that it must be harder because there's less games having goals. So I make no mistake, you know, I make no mistakes how I do that. What I want to link now is that lower goals into the markets. And I'm going to try and do it in a way that everyone understands. I might not make a great fist of it. And I think at times we forget that everyone starts somewhere. And the people who've done this for a while love to jump in and show their superiority, look at me and criticise elements of things. I see sort of when I do things like this on the pod and episodes like this, it's my job, if you like, inverted commas, to try and get things across to everybody. You know, I'll give you an example. We published the PDFs for the racing and people have come back and said it was too complicated. Some people loved it. So I try and find, because of the emails and people I deal with, I know there's a level of people, and without being disrespectful, I try and cater for everybody in that rather than, you know, talking and people don't actually get it. So I'm no means an expert at getting this stuff across, so keep your bollocks to yourself, basically. So over these podcasts numerous times, I mentioned them the other day, I've talked about heat maps, and I said on whatever day it was, Monday or Tuesday, I updated mine. Had a cut. What do you mean by that? Basically, a heat map is where I take all the market info, and it gives me an oversight in a graphic form of that market for every game played in the leagues I look at, and it breaks it down into little square chunks, and if it's green, if it's showing a good profit, and red to a low profit, and it shades it, anything in between in the middle, and that becomes in effect a heat map. So yellow and orange and red is negative, and green and lighter greens, yellows getting, you know, up through to dark green are good. And the ones I use place purely on prices and returns on Betfair. So I can, for example, I can look and see that on Betfair in the 2019-2020 season in the 1.5 market, I could have, and I stress could have, as I'm looking back at things historically, I could have in the 19-20 season backed over 1.5 goals blind in the Premier League, where overs was priced between 1.22 and 1.31 and made a profit. I could have just done that blind. So every game, it was 125 games, 7.31 points profit after commission, and FDD used 5%, so obviously we'd see a better return at 2%. But I could have backed every single game there and made a profit, just gone onto the Betfair website, looked at all the Premier League games on a Saturday. If the over 1.5 was between 1.22, 1.31, backed it blind, won. At the same bracket in the Championship, I'd have lost 16.34 points in 203 bets. So big difference between just two leagues, exactly the same price point. So it gives me this quick market oversight. I can see what has been winning, what has been losing, what hovers around level for every league, broken down into nice little pockets of prices in 10 tick segments. And I stress every time I mention these, I do always say the caveat, and when I've talked stats on the pod, they act as a guide for me, not a betting method. I don't, for example, expect over 1.5 in the 1.22 to 1.31 bracket in the English Premier League to win forevermore. I could actually take the complete opposite view of that and say that can't possibly keep going, so it must reverse and look to start laying them. And similarly, it would be, you know, wouldn't be unreasonable to think the Championship is not always going to lose, and that may get to something that you look at backing. I'm not saying by any means this is system, just saying that they're purely an oversight, a very quick glance view for me of that's what's happening. My tendency is to tend to rule things out more than rule things in. But it's being able to look at the prices and the breakdown I find helpful. How do I put this bit? They help me in understanding what is happening at that time. I think any talk of betting methodology over time will include somewhere the phrase market adjustment or something similar. So, i.e., if we've got a profitable system, you know, I will say myself, and other people say, it's unlikely to go on forever as the market will move, the market will adjust. So the system may maintain its level of performance, but the prices we now bet at mean we cannot profit. Or the system may decline in performance, but we're still being expected to bet at the prices that it was, you know, it was producing when it was at peak performance. Easiest example of a market movement for me is to go back to lay the draw in 2006-07. So I did that, you know, day in, day out. I used to pick my games. I had very strict criteria up to, you know, I used to invariably work on games that were priced 4.2 to 5.2. So let's say games priced 5.0, lay the draw at kickoff. Early goal would go in. That price would shoot out to 8, 9, sometimes double figures, you know, in a weaker league that people didn't know about. That doesn't happen now because the people who are offering those over-the-top prices in 2006, 2007 have all been eaten up, not being big-headed by people like me over time. And now it's much more sophisticated. Bots now form the markets after goals, and those sort of mistakes aren't made. You know, you can only, it's like I keep saying, the poker boom. People can only lose so much money. So that when things like that happen over time, the market will correct. So we can still learn, though, and look to take advantage of these things. You know, again, people say it's 100% efficient. There's still areas in there you can look to take advantage, or you can look to stop and stop doing your brains. And that, again, is a key thing. You know, and so if we take that, if we take the 1.5 market, I'm looking at that sheet now. In 2018-19 season, in the English Premier League, if you backed every game, so every game in the English Premier League 2018-19, the over 1.5 was priced from 101 to 1.7 pre-kickoff, back over 1.5, you made a profit. Didn't have to do anything. Just go on the website, Betfair. If it was 1.7 or less, over 1.5, back it in 2018-19, you made a profit. Get to 19-20, you may think, well, that's not going to happen again. Exactly the same thing happened in 1920. You could just go on the website, if it was 1.7 or under, back over 1.5, and you made a profit. Every single Premier League game that was played. In 2021, that's not the case. You would now be losing in this season. So that method, you'd have got away with it for two seasons, then you'd have gone on this season, I've got some in here, just back over 1.5, under 1.7, I'm all over it. And all of a sudden, you've given all your money back and a little bit more. I think it's probably about 2 points you'd be losing over all the three seasons. Of course, we could now, in this day and age, we could just scream COVID and run for the hills and blame that for everything. No home crowds, da-da-da. I do think it's more nuanced than that, in my opinion, and I guess, I stress it is my opinion. So what I try and do is break these things down and look at them. So there's 380 games in a Premier League season. In 2018-19, 303 of those finished over 1.5, which is 79.73%, and the average price was 1.29. The average price of winning bets was 1.29. Stress that, winning bets. I think you're betting about 1.3 overall. In 1920, there was 380 games, obviously. 304, just one game difference. So 2018-19, 380 games, 303 over 1.5. 1920, 380 games, 304. You know when I say football's predictable? Incredible. So one game difference, 80%. You're betting your winners at 1.28. So in 18-19, 303 games, price of the winners 1.29, 1920, 304 games, 80%, and the price of the winners 1.28. Almost no difference in the price you're backing at. And with the decimal points, it is next to, you know, it's like 1.287 and 1.2904, something like that. Currently in 2021, we've had 290 games and only 204. So it can't possibly, we've only got 90 games to go, so the most there could be is 294, and that's if every game from now on is over 1.5, which of course it won't be. So 204 out of 290 is just over 70%. There's been a 10% drop in games that are over 1.5 this season. COVID, run for the hills, COVID. And the average price of winners is pretty much bang on 1.3. So you had 79.73% 2018-19, price of winners 1.29. 80% exactly in 1920, price 1.28. You probably need a pen and paper to write this lot down. We're currently running just over 70%, 1.3. So again, next to no difference price-wise, but we've got a 10% drop in performance, but we're betting at pretty much the same price on average as we were over the last 2 years. When we look a bit deeper then, you know, and again, this is why I say going into things, if we go back to the start of the season in the Premier League, do you remember when the world was in panic? The world was in meltdown. It was a bigger crisis than the financial crash of 2008. The Premier League was looking to break, I think it may have even broken at one stage, 4 goals per game. Football was broken. Spurs beat Southampton 5-2, United 6-1, Liverpool beat Villa 7-2. There was some crazy results. Football was broken. COVID, etc. Well, the numbers in goals obviously have come down, as I said they would. There were 155 games pre-New Year, so 114 of those, 155 games up to December for this season, up to December the 31st, 114 of those were over 1.5. So from the start of the season to December the 31st, 73% were running at over 1.5. But we were still betting winners at an average of 1.28. So we were still 7% down on performance, betting at exactly the same price levels as we were betting in 18, 19, 19, 20, when we were 80%. Exactly the same. Over the 145 games from 2021 that we've had so far, the price is now slowly rising. It's the first time for a long time it's touched 1.3. But it's not rising enough to help us, because we're not anywhere near the 80% strike rate that produced that profit in those two profitable blind seasons. So there's only two things that can happen now. The performance will stay low 70s, in which case the price will gradually rise. It has to, because people won't bet that market. They will force the price up. It's an absolute fact. But it will take a long time, and we need to wait for that to take a decent effect, if that is the way it's going to be. Or the performance will pick up, we'll get back to 80%-ish games over 1.5, and the price will hold as it is. At the minute, in effect, we're being asked a better price where the performance is way down. The price hasn't moved comparative to how performance has dropped. If performance stays down there, that price will move, absolutely guaranteed. But it doesn't happen overnight. There's not somebody looking going, boys, that's down, get bigger prices in there. It just doesn't happen. It's a market force that will happen over time. My personal view is we will get back to 80%. I think, you know, yesterday the Premier League announced football will start in August, end in May. Art's trying to throw a World Cup in the middle. That's 2022 Art. So we're going to have a normal football programme. Players aren't going to be so knackered, not such an intense schedule. I think we'll get back to similar numbers to 18, 19, 19, 20. That's the decisions we've got to make in the summer as football bettors, traders. What data are we going to look at and take forward? And it's why I said in May last year, and I've stuck to it, caution. I don't doubt that this has been a hard season for different elements, whatever it may be. But what we don't do is overreact. So we don't overreact when the Premier League was 4 goals a game. We don't overreact. The market didn't suddenly contract to 1.15 a game for over 1.5 when all those goals were going in. It didn't suddenly go every, shit, there's loads of goals in the Premier League. Boys, offer 1.15 no more. That just doesn't happen. It held steady. These changes take time, often way longer than a season. You know, the lay the draw thing, it wasn't instant. It took a long time to correct. But we look to exploit it. So if prices hold at 1.28 to 1.3 and performance holds at 70%, we're talking about backing. Well, I think we'd start to look to oppose that. If we're going to keep this level of performance at those prices, you'd start backing unders and laying overs, you know, one or the other. Rather than trying to push water uphill and keep backing overs, thinking this is going to be correct. So, you know, again, it's timing. You can't change every week. You need to, unfortunately, sometimes we're on the wrong end of these things, and then we look at them at the end of the season and go, I can see why that happened. Now I've got to either monitor it and stop. You know, I say to people, don't bin anything, just stop, see what happens with this market. So going back, if we go back to supermarket, you know, again, I try and go back to what I start, and whether I make a good job of this or not, I genuinely don't know, talking to myself. If we took it back to supermarkets and fruit, let's go back and put it in some layman terms. Let's say that Tesco's have got a glut of apples, and they may do an offer of £100 for 35 apples. I know that may not be realistic before the tossers start. If they suddenly then get a rush into the shop of everybody buying apples, great offer, let's buy these apples, they can make two decisions. They may decide to keep the price at £100, but only give you 25 apples, so you're in effect getting less bang for your buck. Or they may decide to stay at 35 apples, but charge you more for it, whatever it may be. But the public then will decide whether to accept that and keep buying at £100 for less apples or stop buying. And as they do that, then the supermarket has to do one or two things. Does it maintain 25 apples but charge less until it becomes acceptable? Or do they maintain £100 and build back up to 35 apples because as people stop buying, the apple mountain started growing again? So it is as simple as that. It's market forces, whatever you're talking about. And at the current strike rate, people are going, he's talked apples, satsumas, oranges in here, mangoes, pomegranates. I thought this was football. At the current strike rate on over 1.5, we're getting less bang for our buck. We're getting the 25 apples at the same price, and we have a decision to make. Do we just keep batting away at this lower price and the bad strike rate, or do we wait and monitor until something changes? We can change our approach if it stays the same and lay, as I say, or we can wait and see if the strike rate goes up and the prices we're betting at are now more attractive, or we can wait and see if the strike rate stays the same and prices go up and that becomes more attractive. So it's, I've been talking for whatever, 25, 26 minutes. I've no idea if this may be a bad analogy, very generalistic. Obviously, I'm talking as the market as a whole, so the Premier League as a whole, the skill opportunity still exists within that market out of the 380 games or the 290 that have been played so far to find individual games which you could bet and make a profit. I'm just taking the whole thing as the market as a whole, talking about how it can move, what things matter to it, strike rates, prices you're betting at. That's what I'm trying to get across. What our average, and really the key is, what our average win price is and strike rate is, and can we sustain betting that at that to make a profit in relation to what is actually happening in the market, what's actually happening in the football we're betting on. And it sort of reminded me this morning of the old strike rate. You know, again, I get sent and see loads of stuff that strike rate is vanity, profit is sanity. So me just sitting here saying, well, that's running at an 85% strike rate, doesn't mean anything, because if you're betting at odds of, I don't know, 1.12, 1.13 for a second half goal, so half time you look on over, you know, it's 1-0, over 1.5 is 1.12, 1.3, and I sit there and go, well, I've got an 85% strike rate, you can't make money. Simple as that. It's, you know, you're it doesn't matter me having an 85% strike rate, you're not going to make money. You're going to slowly go skint. So the starting point for all this wasn't Satsuma's oranges, it was the fact, the heat maps that I mentioned the other day, it's all part of that process, looking at the market as a whole. And it's something else that I think, you know, people want to look at their average win price, the strike rate of what's going on in the market they're happening. Has it changed? What are the changes? We are in a strange period, you know, another 6 months yesterday of the COVID rules being approved. We're gonna have this situation, I keep saying it, for a significant longer amount of time. We hope that sport gets back to normal. I hope more than anything that people's lives start to return to some form of normality sooner rather than later. You know, these things will become harder to justify when we've got vaccines and this, that and the other. But from a betting point of view, I think you've got to inform yourself a bit more what's going on. And that in effect is one way of doing it. Completely and utterly gone there. But on a might as well do a little self plug and a self promotion and self congratulation on a similar vein. The pod horses that I put on Telegram, we've had what, 14 of the last 19 have won at an average odds of 3.5, 3.6, something like that. 17 of those 19 have placed at an average odds of 1.63. Absolutely flying. Obviously, I can't stand here and say that is going to keep going up. It may not. It may go down. I would expect that I can't maintain that level. So the point is, again, bet sensibly. You don't look at it and go, oh, Ian's flying, and have lumps on tomorrow, because that will fall back somewhere. But absolutely flying. All about heat maps, oranges, satsumas, pomegranates, apples, Tesco's. And I hope you've got something out of this. Perhaps listen back again, get a pen and paper. If you make any sense of it, let me know. I'll speak to you all. Sam's just got back from the supermarket. I'll speak to you all tomorrow.